I have your speaker was going to talk about building privacy infrastructure. And the day we are living in, especially the year 2025, privacy is becoming a big issue. You have seen it around Potsdam. Even Mozilla is handing out cookies here. We're all into privacy violations, tracking, and the political world is not getting much better. So we have Eva here, who's going to tell you how to build privacy infrastructure using the amazing language called Go. Applause.
All right, hello, can you hear me? Is it good? Okay, awesome. I'm Eva Infeld, I'm a mathematician, and I used to be an academic mathematician, but now I'm building privacy software, which is a lot more fun and important. So let's talk about it. And first, this is more or less what I'm going to go over. So first, some motivation, the context of today's surveillance world, which is incredibly pervasive and requires thinking about a lot of different factors. And then hope, because it is not completely hopeless. So I'm going to tell you about how we're trying to address it. And then I'm going to tell you that we need some help and there are some tasks that we could actually compensate contributors for that are funded. So I'm just going to quickly go over those and hopefully you can talk to me about that. And you could also look at this project as a code base that has some tools that you could potentially use. These are currently mostly crypto tools and networking tools, but we're also going to be building some audio signal processing stuff that's going to be very cool. So we're going to dive into that a little bit too. The slides I was trying to make comprehensive. Don't worry about reading everything on them. If they are too dense, it's because we're going to have a video. I'm just making the slides, thinking about people who are going to be watching the video and can pause it to read the slide. All right, so let's do it. Okay, so first of all, surveillance. We live in a world of incredibly powerful surveillance. It's everywhere. The adversaries are incredibly powerful. And because, you know, without privacy, we have a much smaller chance of addressing the world's problems, which are immense and getting worse by the day. So let's talk about what our adversaries can actually do and what we're going to have to build for, right? So we have adversaries that are global, so they see a significant part of the connections on the internet. This is mostly a concern for statistical analysis, although for statistical analysis, it's actually enough if your adversary can just see two ends of a connection. It doesn't actually have to be a global adversary, which means this is a problem for a much wider range of situations. We are also thinking about people who can take over parts of the network. So if you're using relays the way Tor Project does, for example, you want to have a lot of them in case the adversary takes some over. We're also thinking about people who can take over your friend's devices. So we're trying to give you some deniability if someone takes over your contact. Also, we're talking about adversaries who have a lot of computational power and can do frontier cryptanalysis and might at some point soon have quantum computers. So we really want to have solid, top-notch cryptography that can do as best as possible in those situations. And surveillance actors today have an incredible amount of context about all of us, right? There's all kinds of information about every physical person that's out there. And it's pretty clear what kind of adversaries I'm talking about here, right? It's the canonical example is the NSA, but it could be a bunch of other actors. It could be Google, it could be Apple, it could be some other intelligence service from some other country, it could be another powerful organization. And the okay, so for an adversary that's global, active, sophisticated, and has context, I guess I am still workshopping the algorithm, because maybe it shouldn't be GASH, but at least that's memorable. So it's all right, so let's go. So here's an example. All right, so this is beyond the threat model of leading anonymity systems. Like this is actually kind of an understatement, because there is no system today that can deal with all of that. There's always, you know, this is just too powerful. So here's an example. Tor is awesome. It does a lot of things incredibly well, but it cannot protect you if someone sees two ends of a connection, right? So if it sees you and it sees the server you're connecting to inside and outside the network, it can see the properties of the connection that make it easy to correlate, or it can see disruptions in the network on one side and the other. It's just not going to protect you from that. But it does other things very, very well. So, you know, they're awesome. Obviously, VPNs do even less, because you only need to watch the VPN and the incoming and outgoing connections to see the same kind of properties. So we need something a lot more powerful than all of these things. All right, so what do we actually need to do? We need to show nothing, okay? We're actually pretty good at protecting content of a connection, because we need to encrypt the content. The problem is metadata. And the problem with metadata is, you know, stuff like who's talking to whom, when, how big the packet is. The problem with that is even the slightest amount of information will eventually become deadly. So for, you know, if you have two people talking to each other and say they're going to be online at the same time with, I don't know, probability 50% if they're not friends and 51% if they are friends, then if you watch them for long enough, you can always tell the difference between the 50% and the 51%, right? So this is, so you have to give up nothing. And there are some things that just not addressable, because your users are human and they will never have a perfect behavior, right? But there are things, what you can do is you can make sure that a user that is aware and does everything right can protect themselves. All right. So here's the hope. Here's how we're trying to do it. So first of all, your connection. So the whole system is a mixed network. So if you're aware of how Tor works, it's a little like that, also bouncing things around and trying to make sure things get mixed with each other. Except every connection looks the same. The packets are the same size. They're being sent and received. No matter if you actually need to send or receive something. And they're also staying in each relay for a while to make sure that that you can't correlate the incoming and outgoing times. And there's a probabilistic amount of time that they're staying in the relay for. So the way also we're doing this is we're trying to make every interaction with a server, which is on the other side of the network, the node you're connecting to doesn't know anything about you except that you're connected. And every interaction is bounce. So it's impossible to tell if you're sending or receiving. We're also trying to make sure your contacts don't know anything about you other than what you tell them, that you know that you're telling them. And also, because we don't want the disturbance in the network to be visible on the other side, we don't want any forced interactivity. So, for example, it will be impossible to do better than Tor and have functionality of browsing the internet comfortably. It's just impossible, not going to happen. All right. So you can find out more in a paper that we just released. There's very cool stuff there. There's new crypto protocols for messaging that we're very proud of. There's mathematical analysis of everything I just told you. And also, we might be renaming the project to EcoMix because we're getting feedback that Katzenpost is too complicated and too German. So that might happen in the future. All right, so let's go to some more practical stuff. So we have some funded tasks, thanks to directed grants from NLNet and Bauhallen Stiftung, which you could potentially help us with. This is all in Go. And these are things that we could, in the short future, compensate you for. So we are implementing cryptographic protocols of various kinds. We're trying to take the code base, which at this point is quite robust, and we're trying to make it more usable for other projects to take other to take tools and plug them into places. And also, we actually have a messenger that works, but it's not very good. So we're trying to make it good. We're adding audio functionality. We're doing a bunch of big behind the scenes things, adding attachments, this kind of thing, and we have that kind of stuff funded. And in the long term, we will be seeking funding, which we have some hope for. It's probably going to happen. To first of all audit the code, because I work with the kind of hackers that broke every other system, and they're watching each other very closely, but we don't formally have external audits yet. Then we also want to make it even easier to use the software. We want to be able to, we wanted to make it very easy to set up your own form of this network for like an organization if you need to do it. It's technically already possible, it's just incredibly complicated. And there's a lot of work to be done to make it easier. Then we would like it to make it easier to connect to a mixed network instance that we're running with your applications, which we're actually, you know, it's currently in Go. We're also making interfaces for other languages as well. We want to make the messenger a lot more usable. And then we have a pretty dynamic research program that's my part, actually. That's full of fun stuff. All right, so let's talk about some of the code. So if you go to our repository, which is GitHub/Katzenpost, there's one of the sub-repos there is the HPQC Hybrid Post-Quantum Cryptography Library. And if we're talking about, you know, if we're thinking about adversaries that might soon have quantum computers, the cryptography that's resistant to that is not the same cryptography that we've been using for decades, although the cryptography that we've been using for decades has a lot of advantages, which is a lot of people tried to break it and no one managed to do it. So what you actually would like, ideally, is to use hybrid encryption, so you're doing basically both, right? So you're encrypting it classically, and then you're encrypting it in a way that we think is resistant to quantum computers. There are sort of three types of things in this library, which are all available to use. So there's quantum signatures. There's both classical and post-quantum signature primitives. There non-interactive key exchange primitives is sort of what you usually think of public key cryptography, like sort of, you know, like Diffie-Hellman style cryptography. And then key encapsulation mechanisms are ways to, in some sense, you can take those and turn them into chem algorithms and give them extra properties and make, in some sense, that gives them additional resistance, but also it requires more interaction. So this is a list of primitives. It's incomplete, but it's for future reference. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But if someone wants to go through that library and use it, then these are available. Oh, sorry. And example code, this is just a simple example. It doesn't actually do anything useful. But, you know, you sort of call the library and you generate keys, encrypted. There's schemes for every one of those. For every one of those primitives, and you basically just replace the name. X255119 is a sort of a very widely used elliptic curve primitive that there are also other ways to implement it, but you can replace it with any other one, any other of those primitives in a very much similar way. All right, so here are some takeaways. Surveillance is bad, but it's not all hopeless. We are really trying. It's very hard. We don't want to overpromise, but we can't give up, because without privacy, we really have very little chance of addressing the world's problems. And I really invite you to look at that paper on the archive that has all the details of the design, and I really invite you to talk to me about contributing to the project, because we could really use that. And check out the code base and all of its tools, and hopefully in the near future it will also have sort of a more tools that are easily usable. All right, thank you.
Applause.
Yeah.
Any questions? I will run with the microphone to you. No, you cannot yell. It's online.
All right. Sorry. How does it compare to Signal?
Sorry?
How does it compare to Signal?
Okay. Well, Signal is very good at encrypting the content of its communications, but it doesn't do much when it comes to metadata at all. In fact, it's also centralized, and it's hosted on, I think, Amazon. So it doesn't really try to do anything with your metadata. But it is very good for encrypting the content of your messages.
One question over there. One second. This is my fitness for today. Keep your hand up, please, that I can find you. Thank you.
So does it use the Tor network, or is it its own mixed network?
It's its own network. It does use some things that are inspired by Tor solutions. Those are kind of like very detailed things. There's ways that in the messaging we sort of generate addresses for each message in like a pseudo-random way, which is kind of inspired by something Tor did for its hidden services. But it's not. It's trying to do something different than Tor is doing. We are not trying to do what Tor does, which is let you browse the internet in a way that's basically indistinguishable from not doing it through Tor at this point, which is great. But we are also, like, this protects from things that Tor doesn't protect you from. All right.
I have one question over there. Can you quickly pass along the microphone, please?
I just wanted to ask how hybrid post-quantum and classical cryptography system work? Is it all post-quantum resistant, or is it like some parts that are useful for certain
things? So there are some ways to encrypt a thing that have not yet been broken by any quantum algorithm that we know of, right? That's what we refer to as quantum resistant. We don't have like a full certainty that it will never be broken, right? So basically, you take a message and you encrypt it with something that's not been broken by a quantum algorithm, and then you encrypt it by something that we've been using for decades that's not been broken by a non-quantum algorithm, and you have sort of two layers of encryption around it. That's how we can give you the most possible security that we know how to do.
Any more questions?
There's here in the front.
One second.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for your talk. Do you have like do you have any insights on scalability of this? Because like we want to send and receive messages and be indistinguishable from not sending. Do you have have you any hopes that this scales on a like signal level?
Yes. Yeah? Yes. So basically, as long as you don't, I don't want to like stand here and compare things with other projects and be like, well, we don't have that problem. But for example, Simplex, when it has a group chat, it kind of creates a connection between each two people. So that is a problem for scalability because you have sort of n squared connections, right? Our messaging design doesn't do that. You're kind of like, everyone has like a one-to-many broadcast in a group setting, so that should scale. For connection, yeah, you have a steady connection to the network, so obviously you're not going to have a ton of bandwidth, right? Because that would add up super quick, because you're going to have to keep up this bandwidth around the clock if you really want to be super secure. So that's a limitation for sure. But for having lots of users, that shouldn't be a problem as long as you have enough nodes to, you know, sort of scale with that, I guess. But it also, you know, we have the capacity for lots and lots of users already with just not that much infrastructure, right? So basically, there's like layers of relays, and you just add more relays to a layer if this becomes a problem.
Any last question?
All right.
I don't see any raised hands. In that case, round of applause.
Thank you.